Going to be looking at a number of different areas this morning, and I've entitled the message, Can We Remember? But before we start, as Pastor Clay has started us off, we should pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather, to come and sit at your feet, to learn of you. We thank you for the worship time. Lord God, we pray that it is softened and tilled that soil of our hearts, that as we look at your word this morning, that it would be able to find a place to take hold and grow root and help us to be strengthened. May we just be covered by your mercy and by your grace at the hearing of your word. Lord God, we lift this morning to you, pray that you would get all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We lift this to you in Jesus' name, amen. Can we remember? We're going to be talking about some things this morning, and I'll be asking you a lot of questions to help you to see if you remember, if you can, things that we know well as brothers and sisters in Christ, but how often we forget them. I was talking with Jer this morning as he came in to ask what I was doing, and we had a good little conversation about there's so many simple truths, and in general, our Bible is not complicated. It's so many of the areas, especially the ones that we know well, they're straightforward. The question then becomes, do we remember them? Do we act upon them? So some of the things we're going to look at this morning are words like forgiven, justified, reconciled, righteous. Ponder those for a moment. We see them in many, many areas of Scripture. Forgiven, justified, reconciled, righteous. How do we interpret them? How do we apply them to our everyday lives? All these words that we know and we've heard in Scripture and again are listed, if you do searches on them and find them or the parts of the words, you're going to see that they occur so often. But we're going to take a deeper look at some of those today, or I should say at all of those. We're going to start off in the 32nd Psalm. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you, while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in the heart. So I'm going to look at a couple of these verses. Pretty straightforward. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. First question, are we forgiven? Are you forgiven? Are your sins covered? Have our sins been covered? Is your sin counted against you? So again, it's like we think of this in our everyday lives. When we get up in the morning, do we recognize that we've been forgiven? Do we recognize that our sins have been covered? How do we view and conduct ourselves in our everyday lives? With even just the looking at this area, how do we act when we get up? Do we remember these things? Do we go about our day with these thoughts in mind? And from the song we all know, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Another question, is he your hiding place? When dark times seem to come across and we're worried and concerned, is he our hiding place? Do we remember that he will protect us and surround us with the songs of deliverance? Do we allow him to protect us? Do we allow him to surround us? Do we listen for his songs of deliverance? Or like verse 9. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Do we have the understanding that this area speaks of? Or do we need to be controlled all the time? Do we have to be directed like that horse with the bit and bridle that has to be pulled or moved or nudged to get to do anything? In other words, are we not the bright ones? And we need to be led like a mule or a horse? And again, this is daily. Daily do we, like verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Do we rejoice? Can we be glad? Do we sing? If we're righteous, if we are righteous, if we are upright in heart, we should. We should be singing with gladness. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. That's us. Do we recognize that on a daily basis? Do we sing? Do we know that He has us upright in heart? And this is just the start of what we're going to be looking at. And as we continue, we'll see a number of other areas and verses that are all quite familiar. They're all going to have a similar theme and a touch to them. But the question then becomes, are we truly connecting with these? Are we truly connected with these scriptures that, again, we know so well? Do we listen to the words? We might listen to the words, but then the next question is, do we believe the words? Are you forgiven? Are your sins covered? Is your sin counted against you? We know the answers to all of these. Is He our hiding place? Do we allow Him to protect? Do you allow Him to protect and surround you? Again, on a daily basis, where you are right now, with the struggles that are battling in your mind, is He your hiding place? Have you allowed Him to protect and surround you? Do we have understanding? Are we righteous? Do you reflect that? Do you reflect that righteousness by rejoicing? I know so many times when I'm teaching, this is all for me, because I don't. I don't get up in the morning and rejoicing. I'm worried about the troubles of the day and what's happening this week, what's happening next week. And nowadays, it's what's happening in our world. Am I allowing Him to protect and surround me and to be my hiding place? And am I glad? Do I get up in the morning with gladness in my heart, in song? How about you? Next, we're going to look at Romans 4, 1 through 8. What then shall we say, that Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. What should this remind us about ourselves when we look at this? How was Abraham found according to the flesh? Was he justified by his works? If he was, he could then boast and say, look at me, look what I've done, look how awesome I am, but not in front of God. How about us? Are we ever proud of our works? Are we ever proud of our accomplishments? Especially, I'll say, in the spiritual realm. Do we believe sometimes that we've got it all going on and we're all that? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It had nothing to do with his works and all the great things he'd accomplished or had accomplished. It had simply to do with his belief. His belief that God would do what he said he would do. For him who does work or works, it's not grace. It's not grace, but debt. Something owed. So when you work, you are owed something. That's why we work and we get paid. We work and then we are owed the wage. But for those who don't work but believe in God, him who justifies the ungodly, that faith that we believe he is who he said he was and he'd do what he said he would do, That makes us righteous, is what it says. It's accounted to us for righteousness. As David described, blessed of that man on whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Are you blessed that you have righteousness and you're looked at as right and holy apart from the things you do or don't do? Do we realize that we are righteous? I'm going to keep on saying this over and over. How often do we get up in the morning and we recognize that we're righteous? Yes, I was a filthy, wretched sinner who still sometimes stumbles and falls and crashes and burns. But God says I'm righteous because I believe what he said, and I believe he would do what he said he did, and he will continue to do that. That righteousness comes from God. We didn't earn it. We didn't excel at anything to get it. We didn't tirelessly exhaust ourselves, which sometimes we do. Especially for us in ministry, we can tirelessly exhaust ourselves thinking we're gaining a little bit of ground with God. But it has nothing to do with that. Are you blessed this morning? We should be. It says that we are. Do we recognize that we should be blessed? Other than believing God, there is nothing for us to do to gain that righteousness. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. In verse 8, blessed is the man to whom God, the Lord, shall not impute sin. It's very similar to Psalm 32. Are you blessed? Do you feel blessed that you've been forgiven? I would hope we do. But again, do we act on that? Your lawless deeds and acts, they've all been forgiven. Our sins are covered. Blessed are we when the Lord does not impute sin. And do we understand what that means, to have our sins covered, to have them wiped clean? In ancient times, there was a great number of things containing various information, and it was written on wax tablets. And if you've seen them, they look similar to, I'll say, like an iPad or a tablet today. But they had a little tiny recess, they were covered with wax, and they'd use a stylus of sorts, so very similar to our tablets today. And they would be written on or scribed on, and they could be used for essentially taking notes. They could be used for the written word. They can be used for transcription. And then what happens is, if there's a mistake or they need to start over, what do? They heat it up or put it in the sun, and they use like a wiper that swipes it clean and makes it all smooth again. It's covered. The old information or the errors have been covered, and then it is written on anew, never to be seen again. I've also read that it was used for news in a town square. They might have a giant tablet in the town square that would be covered in wax. And in the morning, the sun would come up, and it would heat up the wax. They wipe it all smooth, and then they write the news of the day. And then the next morning, when the sun came up, it was hot, heated up the wax again, they'd wipe it clean, cover it up, so yesterday's news was no more. That's our sin. Our sin is yesterday's news, and it's been covered. It is no more. It's not to be seen again. Do we act on that on a daily basis? Or do we continue to work? We continue to strive. We work really hard to get better. Anybody here work real hard to get better? Work real hard to draw closer to God? If I read a little bit more, maybe if I pray a little bit more, maybe if I go to the men's prayer breakfast, that'll help. But it's not that. Do we do this so that we can re-earn our way to God or earn our way to God? Verse 6, though, just as David also described the blessedness of a man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Is your righteousness from you or from him? I think we're getting it. We've seen it a lot already. Did you earn it by being working or being diligent? Do you feel that you're losing it? And I think this can be a lot of us. Again, in any sort of ministry, do we feel that we lose it? Do we feel that we're falling away from God? We're losing our righteousness when we're not doing something to accomplish and feel like we're working for the kingdom? When we stumble, when we make a mistake, when we make a grave error? Or do we believe and allow our sins, like that tablet, like that news in the town square, to be heated and to be smoothed over or covered? Are our sins covered? And when that happens, we're made righteous apart from anything that we do. And then continuing on in Romans, a little way down, Romans 4, verses 20 through 25. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of the offenses and was raised because of our justification. To a degree, it's another reiteration of what we've been looking at. But I see it's confirmation for us. We look at how verse 20 tells us, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham didn't waver. He actually was strengthened in this time. He believed and then didn't just have it imputed to him or counted to him as righteous. He was strengthened in his faith. How often do we try to strengthen our faith by what we can do? Abraham was strengthened when he didn't do anything but believe. He gave glory to God. And then the next one, Abraham was convinced. He was convinced that God would do what he'd do. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So this goes back to the whole thing on a daily basis when we get up. We know that we are righteous. We know that we're forgiven. We know that we're justified. But when we get up in that morning, when we stagger into work or about our day, do we really, really remember like Abraham did that God can do all these things that he promised? Or do we, I forgot about that again, and I'm back to working to try to gain that righteousness. I'm hoping that I'm forgiven. I'm hoping that I can stand justified. I'm hoping that he sees me as righteous. Or do we believe that he is able to do that which he has promised? Abraham was, and because of this, it was accounted to him as righteousness. And then the next three verses. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. This is not just a footnote so we know what happened to Abraham. Not just a little tick at the bottom so that we can remember, hey, this is Abraham. This is Old Testament. This is what happened back then. No, it wasn't written for him alone. It was written for you and for me. If we choose to believe, we choose to have that faith and believe like Abraham did, that God did what? He raised Jesus from the dead, whom was delivered there to cover our sin. He took our sin. He went willingly to pay the price. He went willingly to pay that debt that we worked so hard to get. And we enjoyed so much when we went along that path. He went there to pay that debt. And he went willingly. And interesting here, he was raised for our justification. Because we become justified when he's raised. As we hear so often, what is it? Just as if I never sinned, which is that wax tablet, smoothed over. It's covered. By being raised, by Jesus being raised, you are made perfect. This completes our justification. If we choose to believe this, that righteousness is not only for Abraham, it's not only a footnote in history, this is for all who believe. Believe God raised him who was delivered unto death on our behalf. So the question then again is, do we believe this? Do you believe this? And do we live like we believe this? Looking at this area of Romans, do we see a contrast? Do we see what a contrast that is to our experience in the world, even on a daily basis? How often do you experience any sort of affirmation outside of your own fleshly efforts? How often do we get praised or an attaboy, an attagirl, or whatever outside of what you've done? Now, when you do an outstanding job at work or at home or if you're coaching or whatever it is, you might have somebody come up and congratulate you. They might say it's a good job. They might say, great, way to go. But how often is it that at school you got an A on the first day of class before ever lifting a pencil? That's what we have. We have a passing grade right at the start of class, and we haven't done a thing except say, Lord, we believe. Before any of your effort was put in, you've already passed. With Christ, we are declared what? Righteous by God. By God through our faith, our belief in what he did and what happened with Jesus on the cross. And again, this is not because of our works or our effort, and that's a big deal. It should be a huge practical difference for us. And the question again, do we see it? How often do we feel we have to keep our guard up when we're out in the world? How often do we feel like we have to work to show something so that the world sees that we look good and that we're Christians? It's like the Pharisees, or the scribes and Pharisees, who prayed on the street corners so that everybody could see them. And we may not be praying on street corners, but how often are we doing things so that we can pump ourselves up and other people might look and go, oh, he's a good Christian. He's a good guy. That's a great lady because of the things that they do. But how often do we find ourselves doing this? To find yourself and get approval. Do we need approval from the world? Or can we just rest in the finished work of Christ? It doesn't mean that we may not do good works. It comes down to, why are we doing them? Understanding that the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. You get the righteousness because of nothing you've done. In our minds, do we make a clear distinction between how the world accepts us and what they're looking at from us and for us and what they'd like to see us do versus how God justifies us? Are we working hard? Or I should say, are we believing hard? Another area, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Like I asked at the beginning, are you in Christ? Do we consider ourselves to be in Christ? If so, do we know that you're a brand new creation? Do you get that you are a brand new creation? You are not the old one. I'm not the old Kevin anymore. I may act like it sometimes, but I'm not. I am a new creation. Old things are gone away, passed away, been cleared over. All is new. We have been reconciled to God through Jesus. We have been brought back into favor, giving us an opportunity where it says the word of reconciliation has been given to us. And it's been given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled, so what can we do? We can go out and tell the world what it means. We can go tell the world who God is, who Christ is, the work that he did so that their slates can be wiped clean and they can be made new. They can be reconciled. We get to share with the world that there is a gap. And again, other scriptures we hear so often, all fall short. All have sinned. We can now tell the world that, you know what, you can close that gap. And not just close it up, you can seal it. The rift that has been caused between us and our Heavenly Father due to sin, it can be bridged. It can be closed up. We can be made whole. We can be made new. We can be made one with God. That God was in Christ, and he is reconciling the world to himself. Like we've been saying, our trespasses, our sins, our mistakes, our shortcomings, all of our tryings and failings, they're no longer imputed to us. They're no longer given to us. That separation, the breach that sin has caused, it's now bridged. It's now joined. We are wiped clean again, just like those wax tablets. The sun came out, or I should say even the sun was raised up, and we are now covered because of that. We can now go forth and show, we can proclaim the word of reconciliation. How often do we get up in the morning wanting to proclaim the word of reconciliation? We know the way. How many here know the way? I think we all do. We all know the way. Now we can make that way known to others. Paul implores the readers that. Be reconciled, because he who knew no sin became sin. Jesus took your sin and my sin upon himself that we might be reconciled. He took his sin that I did and that you did and that I will do and you will do, and he closed that gap. That rift is now healed. We might be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. As with what we've already seen this morning and pondered, do we recognize all this that's been done on our behalf? And again, none of these are, I think, brand new scriptures for us. This isn't stuff we haven't seen before. These aren't areas that we haven't read on our own or seen taught multiple times. These are, I think, some common basic truths that we know and we understand, but how often do we ponder them? Do we recognize what's been done on our behalf? I understand that we know this, but do we know it daily? Will we know it half an hour from now when we leave and go with our family or friends or walk into a public place and we're not happy about the situation? Will we know this? Will we recognize this? Do we interact with the world in a way that reflects what we know? I know Bill and I have our discussions almost daily when we're in here. And it's good we're having them behind closed doors because they're not good. They are. They're not bad. But I mean, it's we can mumble and grumble, but that's not what we're called to do. How do we go out and we interact with the world? Do we interact like we understand all these truths we've been seeing? Are we living a daily life like you've been reconciled? Like we've been reconciled? If we look at the end of verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We not only have reconciliation, but we became righteous. We saw this earlier on. We became the righteousness of God. When we believe in God and what he did through Jesus in his death and resurrection, we are no longer separated. We're joined. We're righteous. Not by anything, again, that we've done. Again, reiterate. Do we rise in the morning and recognize this? Are we reconciled? Yes. Do we recognize that we are reconciled? Do we know that God has clothed us in his righteousness? And if we do, if we know all these things, shouldn't this change us? Shouldn't this make us a little bit different than the way we normally act? Shouldn't it make us a little different than the way the world acts? Shouldn't it make a difference with the way we interact with those around us, with the world around us? Do we? Do you? I know I need to work better at that. I know that I see that so often. I sit here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, and I know how my mind can wander. And I think of these of different things, and it's like, I need to be different. I need to be better. I need to not do the work, but I need to recognize all these things that he's done for me and allow them to work in and through me and reflect. We look at Revelation 1, 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me saying, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last." John has been ushered into heaven in this vision. He then finds himself in the presence of the Almighty One, and what happens? He falls at his feet as though dead. What it is the holiness from God just, it blows him away, and he can't stand. Just as it would with anyone who comes before him. Great or small, leaders, non-leaders, powerful, non-powerful, all those both great and small, in and of themselves, what happens is they get before him and they know that they're toast. They know that they have nothing because of his holiness and because of their sin. But what does God say to John? "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. John, don't be afraid. I know you. I know who you are." And understand, in the instance that we said, "Jesus, I trust in you for salvation," God's outlook towards you changes. His view of you changes. No longer sees a bumbling sinner. He doesn't see how awesome you believed yourself to be. Does he recognize our great works and our self-righteousness, those works and righteousness that the Bible describes as filthy rags? No. He views you through the lens of the cross. You're seen totally different. You believe in Jesus, you are looked at totally different. You're looked at as righteous. You're covered. All the old is gone. He views you as a righteous and reconciled by the work of Jesus on the cross. It matters not what you do today, what you did yesterday, whether good or bad. You are not evaluated on your merit. You're evaluated on the merit of Christ in his death and resurrection. He sees Christ and his righteousness in you. As Hebrews 10:10 says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We know it. Do we believe it and do we act on it? God means what he said. You've been made holy. You've been made righteous. You've been reconciled. Do we continue to struggle with works or even a list of do's and don'ts of what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, and we fight to try and keep that list and do well? And when we miss something on the list, we're down. And when we've completed the list really, really fast and really, really good, are we really proud of ourselves? Do we see ourselves that way? When he looks at you, what does he see? He sees Christ. That's what he sees. Do you see yourself that way when you look in the mirror? Do you see Christ? Do you see the way God looks at you? When you get up in the morning, do you remind yourself that you're a child? You're a child of God. You're forgiven. You're righteous. You've been reconciled. And you're justified by nothing you've done, but by his work. I seem to forget. So my question then is, can we start to remember? Can we do it yearly, monthly, weekly, daily? Maybe even start today. In wrapping up, I thought of something. I thought of a verse, and it's 1 Peter 3:15. It's, again, another one we know well. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And as believers, we should be able to do this. We've heard this over and over. Can you give an account for the hope that lies within you? Can you tell somebody about the work that Jesus has done in your life, in your heart. The scriptures we looked at today and these truths that we've heard, are they part of that hope? Are they part of that hope that lies within you? That you're forgiven, that you're justified, that you're reconciled, that you're righteous? I know for me, I say I believe them. I really do. And at times I'll even tell others about them. But do I live my life on a daily basis like they're true and like I believe them? Do I get up in the morning and act upon the fact that I am forgiven, I am justified, I am reconciled, and I'm righteous? Do I interact with the world as if I'm forgiven, justified, reconciled, and righteous? Those two verses in Romans 4, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that he had promised, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. The things we've spoken of this morning, do we waver at what we've heard? Do we waver at what is read? Do you struggle with the fact that he views you as righteous, that you're justified, that you're forgiven, that you've been reconciled, that gap has been closed? Do we waver at what we've heard or what we read, or are we strengthened? Strengthened by the fact that he, yes, God, is in control. Are we convinced that he'll follow up on those promises and on those truths? If we're convinced, as Abraham was, that God is strong enough and good enough to follow through on these things he promised, why should that not change our outlook when we get up tomorrow morning, when we get up from these pews and walk out that door? Why should we not be reflecting that we're forgiven, we're justified, we're reconciled, and we're righteous? Apart from our works, do we believe like Abraham was, where we strengthen and convinced that God can do this work? Where's our trust this morning? Where is our hope? Where is our faith? Are we ready to lay it all on the line for what we believe? Because we know that God is faithful. We're fully convinced that he can perform all that he needs to in our lives. So this week, tomorrow, today, can we remember that we're forgiven? We're justified. We're reconciled. We're righteous. And again, not by anything we've accomplished or done. We haven't earned it. We haven't merited it. But do you believe? If so, John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. So the question is, do you believe? If so, the work is finished. You don't have to do anything. It's not on your merit and on your goodness and on your efforts. It's all on his. And Jesus said, "It is finished." Do we believe? Are you fully convinced that he can perform? I'm ready. Are you? Lord God, help us to be ready. Help us to believe. Give us strength and conviction that these simple truths that we've heard so many times, and I know that we know so well, help us to remember that you are able to perform and it's not us. Give us a heart to just continue to look to you, to be strengthened, to remember on a daily basis that we're forgiven, we're reconciled, we're justified, we're righteous, all by the work that you've done through Christ Jesus on the cross. Help us to be changed people that reflect you to a truly crazy and upside down world, Lord God. This day as we leave, tomorrow morning as we get up, help us to remember the work that you've done and know that you are faithful and convinced that you're able to perform that good work through us. We lift this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.